Welcome back to this edition of Red Barn Radio. You're listening to the music of the Louisville Mandolin Orchestra. For more program information, go to redbarnradio.com.
Mike Schroeder, who is the founder of the Louisville Mandolin Orchestra. If you're just joining us, we are with the Louisville Mandolin Orchestra tonight, and there are 20 or 18, we're talking a mandolin army.
The largest bluegrass band you've ever?
The largest bluegrass band.
And just as Bill Monroe would have wanted it, we're all playing mandolin-related instruments.
Indeed. Original members of the Louisville Mandolin Orchestra. Okay, so five original members, and how many of you play only mandolin? That was another one, two, three, four, five. Another five. How many of you play violin? Okay, three. And same tuning, right? How many of you play unstrung instruments? And what instruments are those that you play? Just yell it out. Flute? Recorder? Sax? All right. Is there a particular name in mandolin other than Gibson that's sort of the cherished instrument? In the guitar world, we think, you know, well, Martin, of course. Yeah. Step up. This is Mike Schroeder stepping up. Mike is actually the founding member.
I would say Gibsons are really the Stradivarius for the mandolin family instruments. Those are really the most valued, especially a particular style that was made by an acoustic engineer named Lloyd Lohr, who worked at the Gibson factory for about a 3 or 4 year period, but the instruments that he signed from 1922 until 1924 are the most valued, and I don't know, current market rate is somewhere around $250,000 for one of those, so very expensive.
Have joined us? This is the music of the Louisville Mandolin Orchestra on Red Barn Radio. Celebrate the music of Kentucky.
And there's also then sort of an association I was noticing on... I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name.
This is Leslie Whitten.
Leslie, yeah. And I was talking with Leslie, who's over here, and she's playing actually a very interesting
mandolin.
It's
a European style, and it's a little bit different than the American style, which the Gibson Company developed kind of a flat version of mandolins, but the original European design more closely resembles the lutes that were common in Renaissance music. So it has a rounded back and then a flat top. They're referred to as bowl-back mandolins because the back of it kind of looks like a bowl.
What is the difference between a mandolin and, say, a balalaika?
It's very similar in terms of their performance, but balalaikas typically only have three strings, but they are plucked stringed instruments. In fact, there's a wide variety. Almost every culture, believe it or not, has a plucked string version very similar to a mandolin. There's a Japanese instrument called a koto that's very similar to an oud, which came from perhaps Africa. And lutes were another variation of that. So these are plucked stringed instruments that all are cousins. Played with similar techniques, the tremolo technique is employed in almost all of those cultures and all those styles.
Noticing, though, you have CMSA, which stands for the
Classical Mandolin Society of America, and that was an organization that was started in 1986, and it's a national organization to promote this style of music, plucked string mandolin music.
And they have events? They stage events, newsletters, that kind of thing?
They do. They have a publication that they do, and also they hold an annual convention, which moves around the country. This particular group, the Louisville group, has hosted that convention on three separate occasions.
Do you do some kind of fundraising?
We concertize, and oftentimes those concerts can be for compensation. So we accumulate money that
professional
way.
Professional development?
Well, in a way, maybe. a lot of it we invest into recordings and CDs, and then we sell those. One event that we were part of a number of years ago was the American Brass Band Festival down at Center College, and it was kind of interesting. We all had to have brass strings on I'm teasing. No, we didn't put brass strings on. But there were a number of newspaper marches that were written 100 years ago, and oftentimes those newspaper marches, like the Washington Post March, I think is the name of it, were performed by brass bands, and because we had recorded a number of those, that organization was very interested in, so we kind of did a joint concert and recording session to record some of these 100-year-old newspaper marches. wouldn't surprise me if most major metropolitan areas have some sort of a organized mandolin ensemble. New York has three that I know of. Louisville, Dayton, I'm thinking some of the regional ones. Nashville, there's a group there. I would guess probably 30 to 40 organized mandolin ensembles across the United States.
Are the ones in large cities like, is the best one in New York, or is the best one in
Well, the oldest
San
one
Francisco,
is actually...
The best one in Louisville.
I would like to think. The oldest one actually was started in, and it's still going, was started in Milwaukee, I believe, about 105 years ago, and it's still going on. Same organization.
In Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a large Italian population
Oftentimes, immigrants were the major influence. And in Louisville, I think that was probably true 100 years ago. And even really, the same, I think, applies to bluegrass music, too. I mean, the Celtic immigrants really influenced the Appalachian fiddle tunes, and those are what really kind of helped lay the groundwork for the dance music that became bluegrass music.
And I was telling folks early before the program, it was my mother's note. She said, hey, you should know this. Your grandma was from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Right.
Was in a mandolin orchestra, and they were going to go take a trip to Hawaii, and she quit because they were going to require that she wear slacks.
Wow.
And she would not wear slacks. So, therefore, never went to Hawaii.
I would have tried to figure out a way to make that trip.
No, you can't get around that, my family. Thank you all here who came for this taping of Red Barn Radio. Nice to see some familiar faces. Again, thank you all so much. What a great evening of music. Thanks again to Bob Elkins and Mike Schroeder. Thanks. I enjoyed, again, talking with you some more. And all of you who I haven't really had a chance to meet, but you play so beautifully. And thank you again.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank the members of the Louisville Mandolin Orchestra and their conductor, Bob Elkins, for their performance recorded live from the heart of the bluegrass. Thanks also to LexArts CEO Jim Clark for his support of all of our broadcast recordings. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. Our associate producer and host of Red Barn Radio, Brad Becker. Dave Kelleher is our location manager. We also thank our volunteers, especially Glenn and Linda Dawson, Lynn Hacker for her help with public relations and our social media, and Dave Dawson for his production assistance. As well as providing great pizza for our guest performers and volunteers, some of our studio audience received gifts from Domino's Pizza on Euclid. The Red Barn Radio Playout theme was written and performed by the Downtown County Band. A full version of this song can be heard on their new CD release under the title Monterey Blues. If you'd like to attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person, just go to our website, redbarnradio.com, and check the calendar page for performance dates and times. You can also become a friend by following Red Barn Radio on MySpace and Facebook. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here again on this station next week at the same time with the music of Kentucky. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio has been brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, a catalyst for creating a progressive and innovating community inspired by the arts. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.